Begin the current daf himself. Let's say the daf ches. Begin on the bottom line of the Zainim Beis, where the Gemara continues quoting from our mission that described what is the process of when the woman already had kinui and stira, and now we don't know, she's a subject site. They bring her up to Yerushalayim to the Beis Nagadol, and they start intimidating her. They start convincing her, look, admit the guilt. It's not worth it to go through this procedure. So the Mishnah said, if she says she's Tameya, then she writes up a receipt, she loses her ksuba, and she's sent out of the marriage. But as our Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Vim Amr Tahirani, but if she says, I am pure, I didn't do anything wrong, Malm Oysel Lishari Mizrach, and then they bring her up to the eastern gate, which is the outermost gate on the way up to the Har Habayis, to the Temple Mount, which the Beis Hamikdash is built on top of that. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Malm Oysel, they bring her up, as we continue on top of Chesem and Aleph, but Hasam Kaimer, she's already there. We already explained the Mishnah, she's in the Lishkas HaGazis, in the Chamber of Yun Stone, where, because that was what started the whole procedure, the Beis Nagadol, the greatest court in Jewish law, was intimidating her, and that where they were, where they're situated, is in the Chamber of Yun Stone, which is actually already in the Azar, in the courtyard. Half in the sanctified part, half in an unsanctified part, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma. So how can we say that they're now bringing her up as if she was further out, but actually she was even closer to where she has to be? So I think Gemara explains it right. The maskinin-law, they bring her up, then umachtinin-law, then they take her down out of the whole area of the Temple Mount after they intimidated her, and then they bring her back up to the eastern gate. And the reason why is kedili yageya, because they want to wear her down, because they want her to get worried from the water, from drinking this water, and that she should admit, and that she'll see that, oh, this is not worth it. So they want to put her in a situation, putting her more vulnerable. So that's why they take her up, take her down, to do all these things to disorient her. The time, like within the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he says, Bezdin Masin Esa'idim Imakim Lamakim, as our Mishnah compared this to witnesses for a capital punishment case, where if the witnesses, when they're inspecting them, they would take them from one corner to another corner, from one chamber to another chamber, so that they should get disoriented and say, oh my, what are we doing? And look, they're taking us here, and then they're taking us there. And then they'll attract and say, oh, we're making up the whole thing. So to over here is by, she's going to get all nervous what's going on. You know, so you can only hold your face and your affect and that weight of preventing what you know is wrong for only that long. And that's why they would do this. So yeah, she was already up, and then they brought her back down, and then they brought her, when she kept on denying it, to the eastern gate. Now, then they took her up to Shar Nikoner, to the Nikoner gate, where Shasham Mashkenes HaSaitis V'chulu, because that's the place where they would give the Saita the drink, etc. As we said, the Mitzayra gets purified there, and the Yeled is a woman that gave birth. Now, the Gemara asks, Bishlam HaSaitis, we understand regarding the suspected adulterous women, Dichsiv, it says, a Pasuk in Bamidbar, V'hemet HaKoyin Nesha'ishal of Ne'Hashem. That the Kohen has to place the woman before Hashem when they do the procedure of the Saita waters, where that's the entryway where people come in and out, going towards the courtyard. That's Levnei Hashem. That's in front of the Heichel. Mitzayroi Na'am Midichsev, we understand by the Mitzayra, where it says a pasuk Meyikra, Vehemet HaKohen HaMitar V'Gemet, that also there also it says the Kohen who's purifying him places the Mitzayra, etc. It says Levnei Hashem. Eliyaled is my time. What's the reason why a woman who gave birth has to be there when she's being purified? What's the point of her standing over there by the Shar Nikoner, which is the closest she could be, but she can't be further in because she's Mechusei Kippurim? So on that, the Gemara says, Ilema Meshum De'asin V'kaimen HaKorbanayu. If you say it's for a technical halachic reason, which is that she has to stand there and be there when her korban is being brought, where that will purify her after giving birth to be able to partake and eat from Kachim, where that's a general mitzvah for a person to stand and safeguard over the area when his carbon is being brought. The time like Luna Braisa. In carbonish aladim karv, a person's carbon is not brought, elim kein oimid al gabav, only if the person's standing over that when it's being done, whereas the Sefri learns it out from Tishmer l'hakav libim ayadoy, that to safeguard, I mean the person has to be shimer to make sure that, to see as his carbon is being brought. So a regular person, who can enter into the courtyard, into the Azara, comes in. But again, these people, like this, like as we mentioned, who, for example, the Mitzrayim and the Yeledis, who they're Mechusei Kippur, they're still lacking atonement, so they can't come into the Azara, so they stand there in the gateway of Shar Nikoner, where, as we explained, that wasn't sanctified. So that was the one gate where they could stand. So if that's the reason why the Yeledis was there, Then that shouldn't be just for Yeledis. That should be either for a male or female that had ziva, which is a type of liquid that comes out of their lower region, which is when their kabanas are being brought, they're also mechusik kapara, and they also can't enter into the azara. So we should also say that they also stand there. Why do we pick out just Yeledis? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Tana only picked one of them. It just was using Yeledis as a prototype to explain the category of those that are mechusik kapara, where they can't come in. So a regular person is there when they see the carbon being brought, if he had a certain sin. Mechusik kapara can't come in, so they're there by as close as they could be lefnei Hashem, because in this case you have to be by your carbon. So that's why they would be there, but any people that's not appropriate for them to come into the Azara, they would be by the Shaar Nekunah. Tarmam Litna Braisa. Ein mashkin shtei soitas ka'achas. We don't do the drinking of the soita waters of two different suspected adulterous women at the same time. And the reason being, says the Tanna Kamma, kidei shelo yehei liba gas b'chaverta, that the woman should not feel inflated, it shouldn't be a threat to her ego in regards to the other woman. In other words, because maybe one of the women will stand her ground. And she's not going to admit and say she's tummy, because maybe she's actually tar. Now, the problem is the other woman who maybe really is tummy and sees, oh, she's holding her ground, she's not admitting, she's going to withstand the shame and the torment that they're doing to her, and she's going to feel strong enough to say, you know what, she's not admitting, I'm also not admitting. So to prevent that, because we want the person to admit and not go through that terrible consequence that happened of drinking the Saita waters, we don't have two women doing it at the same time. Now, Rabbi Huda Omer, he argues on the Tanna Kamma, he says, Leiman Hashem Huzet. So that's not the definition. In other words, the reason that you gave why we don't do two at the same time is not because of your logical reason. Ela Amakra, it's based on the Pasuk in Bamidbar that says, Aysa, where it says, Rashi says, it's Vishbiya Aysa HaKoyin, that the Koyin makes her swear, which says, Har, Levada, alone, meaning only one site at a time, not two at a time, not because of a reason, because she's then not gonna, she's gonna fail to admit. It's like Xeris HaKasav. Now, the Gemara asks, so that's a pretty good point, but Tanna Kamma, Ksiv Aysa. What does the Tanna Kamma do with that? Why does he have to come up with svaras, with logic, when the Pasuk tells us that it has to be just one? So that the Gemara explains, you're right. Tanna Kamma, Reb Shimon. The Tanna Kamma, the first Tanna of this Braisa, is Reb Shimon. The Darish Time Dekra, he always expounds the reasoning of the Gzeir Sakasav, of the decree of the Pasuk, where, as we find in Mesech Debab Metzid of Koftezvav Medalev, where the Pasuk says, Leisachvel Beged Amon, you shouldn't take as collateral the garment of a widow. Now, on that, Reb Shimon says, it's talking about a poor widow, not a wealthy widow. Now, the reason for the Pasuk is because if you're going to take collateral from her, so you're going to have to constantly return it to her when she needs it. Now, every morning you're going to come in to take it, and at night you're going to come to give it back to her because she has to use it at nighttime. You're going to give her a bad reputation amongst her neighbors. Who's this man that every day is coming and leaving, and must be something is inappropriate that's going on. So therefore, he says that it's only by a poor woman that you have to continuously come in and out. But he says that that wouldn't apply this prohibition to a wealthy widow. So we see that he gives reasonings, and based on those reasonings, he actually finds halachic ramifications. So that is what he's saying, Uma Tam Kama. He's saying, what's the reason why, as yes, you brought from the Pasuk, Rabbi Huda, from Aysa, it has to be one woman at a time. At that point, Rabbi Shimon says, I explain the reasonings why that is. Ma Tam Aysa Levada, why is it that we can only do one site at a time? Kidei Shelo Yehei Liba Gas Bechaverta, so that she shouldn't have this competition with the other woman and then resist and not capitulate and admit her guilt. Now, so the Gemara wonders, so my benai, what's the difference between Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Shimon if it's a svara of liba gaspa or because of a gezer sakasav? Who cares? Either way, it has to be one woman at a time. So I think Gemara explains, ikke benai, the difference between them would be if one of the women that we see, if she's recesses, where she's trembling, because she's totally afraid of this water, what it's going to do. She heard all about this blowing up and thighs collapsing and eyes bulging out, yet she's still not admitting, she's holding firm. So, according to the one that says, Shalai Yehi Liba Gaspa, that, oh, she shouldn't see the other one, and that's why she's not going to give in. So, according to that opinion, we see that she's not confident. She's not getting all full of herself, and therefore she says, oh, she's not admitting, I'm not going to admit. She's trembling, she's totally afraid. It's just that she knows she didn't do anything wrong. So, according to that opinion, there's not going to be a problem about having another woman there. But according to the one that says, it's a Geseris HaKasid, the Pasuk says, one at a time, then you can't have, no matter what the circumstances are, even if it's not a situation of Liba Gaspa, even if she's not going to get confident because of another woman there, she's trembling, still, the Torah says, one at a time, and that's it. So that would be a halachic ramification between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Now, that the Gemara asked. So fine, that sounds like that would be a difference. But the Gemara says, Vresesis Mimashkin? Is it really true that if there's a trembling woman, we let her drink at the same time as another Saita woman? Where, yes, although you took care of the problem that Reb Shimon says of Liba Gaspa, in other words, he defined the parameters of the halacha of Isa, only one at a time, because we don't want her to be resistant because of another one. And you're right, by recessive, she's not going to be resistant. But there's a different, more general problem about doing two Saitas at the same time, because v'ha ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. We don't make mitzvahs, which the Saita drinking that Saita water is a mitzvah. We don't make it into bundles. We don't do them in groups. We do each mitzvah individually. That's not, which is Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa. Ein mashkin shtei Saitas kachas. We don't give two Saitas, okay, let's do an assembly line, do two Saitas at the same time. Or v'ein mitaren shnei mitzaron kachas. We don't purify two mitzaron at the same time. Or v'ein reitzin shnei avon kachas. We don't bore a hole in the ear of a eved that doesn't want to leave after 7 years, the Eved Ivri, and he wants to stay till Yavel, we drill a hole in his ear. We don't do that two at the same time. Ve'inoifin shtei agolas ka'achas, which is, let's say, there's something called egla rufa, which they decapitate the head of a calf, where if someone died somewhere between towns and we don't know who killed him, so we do what's called egla rufa. We don't do two at the same time. And the reason for all these things are, lefishein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, we don't make mitzvahs in bundles. Because that looks like as if it's a load on you and you'd want to just quickly get rid of it. Okay, let's do all of them at the same time. No, we do each one individually. So forget about that there's no Liba Gaspa by the one who's trembling, but you can't do two sides at the same time. Each one is a chash of a mitzvah. You have to do each one individually. So that on Abaya answers, V'item and Semsei with Rav Kahana, Eloi Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Kan b'koin echad, what we just brought now in this Braisa, that you're not allowed to do them at bundles, meaning a bunch at the same time, that's if there was one kohen doing both of the saitas. Or, for example, regarding the Eved, is in one court with one master. So he wouldn't be able to do two of his slaves at the same time. But kan b'shnei kahanim, what we're discussing over here, are talking about two different kahanim, that's not a problem. You could have two people simultaneously shuckling their lulav at the same time. That's not considered mitzchavil tzchavilis. And therefore, says the Gemara, based on Reb Shimon's reasoning of the halacha, if the woman is restless, if they're shaking and both are trembling and they both are not going to get confident because of the other one, then most definitely you could do both at the same time, because that wouldn't be a problem about Isa. It's only because of Liba Gaspa, which you don't have over there. And moreover, there's no problem with chavilis chavilis, because that would only be if one kain is giving both of them to drink at the same time. Here it's two different kahanim doing that avoida. So then we said that v'hakoyin, from the Mishnah, v'hakoyin oichiz bebigdeha. So she's still standing firm. So we're going through with the whole procedure. So what the kohen does is that he grabs a hold of her shirt by her neckline and tears it. Doesn't make a difference how it tears, if it's a one big tear or it shreds into small little pieces, and he bears her chest. Now, Tanur Rabbanan, learn the Braisa, what's the source for this halacha? So there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says, Ufara es roish she'isha. Now, ufara always generally means a lashon of giloy, of uncovering. So he uncovers the head of the woman. So, Einli Ela Roisha, I would only know that he uncovers, let's say she's wearing a head covering, as Jewish women do. So, only her head is uncovered. Kufa Minayin, how do we know that even her body gets uncovered, like our Mishnah taught, where Megalas Libo, he uncovers her bosom, her chest area. So, Tamalayma Ha'isha, it doesn't say Ufara Es Roisha, it could have said that he uncovers her head. It says Es Roish Ha'isha. Why say Ha'isha, the woman, to say that even her body gets uncovered? So MK Matamalemo Forest Rush. And then the difficulty is then why does it say that he uncovers her head? If he's uncovering her body, part of her body includes her hair. So Malama, that comes to teach actually the other halacha mentioned in our Mishnah, Shakoin Saisir es Sara, that what the Kohen does is that he undoes the braiding of her hair, which is essentially adding to her exposure, where not only is he exposing the hair itself like the rest of the body, but exposing the hair even more by undoing the braids, which is totally exposing of the hair. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he argued, as we quoted in our Mishnah, he says, he says, if she had a beautiful bosom or beautiful hair, then that's something that you don't do, which actually Tosis brings down that how could they have done that? It's exerts a kasev. How could the rabbis come along and say, oh, if she's beautiful, we're not going to do this if the Torah says that you have to do these things? So Tosis says, as we find elsewhere, what's called Sheval Tasa, the rabbis could say that don't do a mitzvah. You're right, they can't tell you to violate actively something, but passively they could, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was, since it's going to be inappropriate, therefore you don't do that part of the mitzvah of, as we just brought from the Pasuk, of uncovering her body and of her hair. Now, the Gemara wonders. Lememra, what it seems to say from our Mishnah is, Rabbi Yehuda chayesh lehirhura, that Rabbi Yehuda was concerned for illicit thoughts, meaning that we don't want that all the men and women that are watching, the men are going to see her chest area and they're going to start thinking inappropriate thoughts. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda says, no, look, if she's beautiful, we don't want to induce such a situation, so we don't uncover her chest or her hair. Now, Rabbanon Leichayeshi, seemingly the Rabbanon were not concerned. They said, no, that even if she's beautiful, it doesn't make a difference. This is part of the procedure. Now, the problem is, seemingly we learned the exact opposite, the time like learned the Braisa. Ha'ish, a man, mechas in oisai, when he's getting stoned, if he committed a sin that is one of the four mises bezin of skila, being stoned, so they cover him perek echad, in one area, meaning with one patch of cloth, and that's mufanov, that's in front of him by his male member, that's the only part of him that gets covered, but the rest of his body is naked when he gets stoned. Now, v'ha'isha, the woman, when she's getting stoned, shnei parakim, we use two patches of cloth. Echad milfoneha ve'echad milacharao. One in front of her by the genital area, one from behind. And the reason is when they should kula erva, because her entire area of the lower region could be seen both from the front and from the back, so from both sides. So therefore, you need to use something to cover it in the front and one to cover in the back. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham Ayrim, they say, the man gets stoned naked. However, the woman does not get stoned naked. Now, that seemingly contradicts both of their opinions. Here, seemingly, the Rabbanon, they're concerned for Hirur, because they say, oh, it's not appropriate to have the woman stoned naked because people are watching. And in contrast, Rabbi Yehuda, who is not concerned about that because the woman is naked, she just has these two little patches. So doesn't that contradict what we learned in our Mishnah, where seemingly Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for Hirur, and that's why we don't pull off her shirt on the top, whereas the Chachamim were not concerned? So Amar Rabba says no. He says, it's not a difficulty. Hacha, here in our sugya of Saita, time am I. What is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda, who he says that we don't reveal her chest? Is Shema Teitzimi Bezin Zakoy, is what's happening over here? We have this suspected adulterous woman. We don't know if she really committed adultery or not. Now, maybe she was really Tahira. Maybe she didn't commit any sin. And therefore, the water's not going to do anything to her, and she's going to go out of the court meritorious, clean. Now, v'yizgaru ba pirchei kohuna, however, the problem is that all those young kahanim that were there watching the procedures and saw her in the state of undress, the rest of her life, they're going to be chasing after her. Now, Rashi actually points out, it's not necessarily just the young kahanim that this could apply to. It could apply even to older people. It's just because the younger kahanim were the ones that were commonly found hanging around the azara more than the rest of the people. That's why he picks the Pirchei Kuna. So because of that, it's inappropriate because they already saw her in that compromised state and they're going to be chasing after her. So that's why Buddha says, no, it's not appropriate to have her unclothed. Now, Hasam, however, over there by being stoned, where Buddha was not concerned if she's being stoned naked, was because Homistalka, because she's not going to be around anymore. So even because we know that she's dying, this is she's being stoned. So therefore, it's not a concern. Even if they're seeing her in this compromised state, it's going to end the second they go ahead and they bury her. Now, and that the Gemara says, now, b'chitem, and if you're going to say, even the woman is being stoned naked, if let's say she's a beautiful woman and they see her in that state of undress, that asil is garuya b'chor noisay, then that's going to actually instigate entice them in their inclinations for other women. You're right. You see a beautiful woman in the state of undress, even though she's being stoned, and it's not going to be applicable to her, but that's going to go ahead and incite them to go for other women. On that, the Gemara says, no, Ha'amar Rabba. Rabba says, Gemir, we have a tradition, which is a Messiah that was handed down from my teachers, says Rava. De'ein yitzahara shoylet, the evil inclination only rules, ela b'masha in avroyas, only what the person sees. So for that woman, it applies. But this woman, once she's being stoned, is not applicable anymore. And therefore, although they saw a woman in that state of undress, it's not going to go ahead and create an element for other women. Now, although Tesis says that we learned the Gemara Chagigah Daf Yud Aleph Beis, that Arias, regarding illicit relationships, that actually a person has this inclination, this desire, whether the woman is in front of him or whether it's not in front of him. So it sounds like it's even when it's not in front of you. And that says Tais is not difficult at all, because he says that is, if let's say someone sees an erva, a certain woman one time, then he will constantly think about her even when she's not in front of him. But because that he saw that this naked woman stone, it's not going to make him think about other women. And therefore, that's why, according to Rabbi Huda, that's not a concern. So although he is concerned, if you see this woman and she's going to still be around afterwards, then that's going to be inappropriate. So therefore, we don't bear her chest. However, regarding the other woman, she's going to be out of the picture anyway. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference, and it's not going to go and entice the person regarding other women. Now, that Omar Rava asks, so Rabbi Huda Kasha, what do you mean? There was only a contradiction of Rabbi Huda's opinion, which is what you resolved, Rabba? And Rabban Loi Kasha, and that there wasn't a contradiction in Rabban's opinion. Why did you only answer the contradiction of Rabbi Huda, and you didn't bother to answer the contradiction of the opinions of the Rabbanan, where in one place they are seemingly concerned about here and the other one not? So Elamar Rava, rather Rava says, so Rabbi Huda Loi Kasha Kedushinin. You're right, Rabbi Huda, you already answered the contradiction. Why it's not a difficulty? It's not regarding specifically of Hiru, about seeing a woman undressed. It's about what's going to be afterwards, which is that, so what's that going to do for you? Are you going to want to then go ahead and get that woman? That's something that could be problematic. So that's why if she's beautiful, we're not going to have her in that compromised state. That's only applicable by the Saita. But it doesn't contradict by the woman that's getting skila, because it's not going to be applicable, because she's not going to be around after that she's stoned. Now, as we continue on Talmud Beis, Drabanan Namel Kasha, regarding the contradiction of Drabanan, it's also not a difficulty, because Hacha, over here by the Saita, where they weren't concerned, even if she's beautiful, they undo the braids, they tear off the shirt, and they expose her. Now, time am I. What's the reason why the rabbis said that it's a mitzvah to embarrass her? And actually, even if it turns out that she was tar, we don't know. We're going through this whole procedure of the Mei Saita, and we're degrading this woman, even though possibly that she was a tahira. Mishum, because it says a pasuk in Yecheskel, the nivastru kol hanoshim, that we want all the women to take the rebuke from this example of this woman, whereas, as Rashi points out, even if you didn't do anything wrong, but that you brought yourself to such a situation where you were suspected of it, where you were warned, and then you concealed, you were secluded with this man, that the women should be modest. So that is why we're going to go ahead and put her in that compromised situation and uncover her bosom. Now, that would apply over there, and that they're not concerned about Hivhura. Now, Hasam over there, however, when the woman's getting stoned, so if we're not concerned about Hivhurim, so why over there is she not stoned naked also? That's because Ein Lecha Yisur Gadol Mizeh, the whole point why we're going to allow a woman to be in that compromised state is because we want people to learn their lesson. So when the Saita, if let's say nothing ends up happening to them, to the woman, we still want her to be in this compromised situation. The woman like, oh, I'm never going to do that because I don't want that to happen to me. Now, regarding getting killed, there's no greater musr than seeing someone getting stoned. She doesn't have to be in a compromised state of undress. So that's why the Rabbanan say that over there, you don't stone her undressed. Now, on that the question is, v'chitem alavet batartin, if you're going to say that, why don't you do both? If we want people to really get the message, let her be a stoned, and let her be degraded and embarrassed by being stoned naked. And then Amar Nachman, Amar Abba Baravu, no, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'yohavta l'reyacha kamaycha. You should love your reya, your friend, your neighbor, as yourself. What that means to say is, Baraloi misa yafa. You, even regarding the death of a sinner, you should pick out an appropriate death. And therefore, yes, they should be stoned for the sin that they did, but it doesn't have to be degrading to them, and therefore the woman should not have to be stoned in the state of undress, because for them it's really degrading, and therefore we don't put her in the state of undress. And again, that doesn't contradict by the Saita, because we want muster. We want people to take their rebuke. So by the Saita, that would have to be in the state of undress. But by when someone's getting killed, that itself is enough of a detractor, and therefore you don't need a put her in that compromised situation of exposure. Now, so the Gemara asked, Leimad Rav Nachman Tanoihi, seemingly this Amarok statement of Rav Nachman, who said that when you kill someone, you should do the most, the one that, Chas V'Shalom, so to speak, you would do for yourself, that L'Avrach Kameicha, which is, okay, stoned but not undressed, seemingly Rabbi Yehuda argues on that because he says you do both. He says when they're stoning, that the woman is undressed and she gets killed. So seemingly Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with V'Havtarech Kameicha of Bar Lo Misa Yafa, that the death she has to be as ideal as possible. And I think Moses Loi, no. The Kuli Alma Islud Rav Nachman, everyone agrees to Rav Nachman's concept that V'Havtarech Kameicha applies even to when you're killing someone. You have to pick out the best, easiest death as possible. Now, so, but V'Hacha B'Hacha Mefka, what they're arguing about is as follows. Marsav, the Rabbanan held, B'Zyoyne Odifle. It's preferable for a person, in other words, most foremost in the person's thought process, even when they're dying, what they really hate is being degraded, embarrassed. That's Tfei Mitzar Degufe, that's more than physical pain. Now, therefore, according to Rabbanan, the Misa Yafa, the most ideal death, is when they're being stoned, they should at least be clothed. Now, even though that's going to cause their physical pain to be prolonged, it's going to take longer to die because there's something that's blocking the stones that are pelting the person, they'd rather have that than be stoned naked and be degraded. Whereas a Marsav, however, who the hell knows Tsar de Gufi Odaf Late Fame Bezyoin, a person who would rather have it easier physically, that's the most ideal death, is to be stoned naked. Now, although that's going to be degrading, but the person would rather not be clothed and have a prolonged agony of the death, they'd rather have their tzar de gufa is more important than the bezoyin. So everyone agrees to Rav Nachman's concept. The question is, which one is the more misa yafa, that not to be embarrassed or not to have prolonged physical agony? Now, the Mishnah said, mechus levanim v'chulu, if the woman was wearing white clothing, so then we put her on black clothing, and then we go through the whole procedure. Again, we want to put her in a state of nevel, state of disgrace, because we want to discourage her, other people, about what's going on. Now, however, Tanu Lina Braisa, Im Hoyu Shchayim Noim La, if she looks good in black, then Mechas Naisa Bugad Mechuar, and then we put her on disgusting, repulsive garments. The idea is not the black, it's just that, in contrast to the white that she was wearing, but if she looks good in that, then we do something again. All this is to put her in a state of nevel, as the Mishnah continues. If she was wearing gold or any other jewelry and ornaments, so mavirin mimenu, we take it off from her. Now the Gemara asks, Peshitta, that's pretty obvious. Hashda nivli minavala, if we put her in a state of disgrace, we tear off her shirt, we do all these different things. Hani miboy, is it a question that we think she could wear jewelry? So why was it necessary to say that? And that the Gemara says, no, actually, mao de tema bahani isla bezoin tfei. We would have thought that actually wearing that jewelry would have been more degrading for her. In other words, because here she is, she's naked up until her chest. Her here is all disheveled. And we're putting on this golden jewelry on her. Now that's embarrassing, that's degrading. And that's actually how people make fun and mockery of people. What they do is they put the person naked and they put shoes on his foot. Kedam Rinchen, like people say, Shalich Artil V'Sai Masonei, like his clothing is off, but he's wearing shoes. It looks ridiculous. So we would think that would be the same thing over here. Here she is in a state of disgrace and she's wearing this beautiful jewelry. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush that Amish is saying, even so, we don't keep that jewelry on, that it's more ideal to totally remove all this jewelry. Now then the Mishnah said, V'achkach mi b'chevel v'chulu. Now after that we tore the top of our shirt, so we bring this rope that's made out of the vine that's around from the palm tree, and they use it to tie up, hold up her shirt, her skirt, to above her a breast area that it doesn't fall down. Now, B'yimine Reb Abba Merav Huna, he asked, Chevel ha-mitzri ma'o she'akev b'saita. What's the halacha? Is it going to be bedavka? Is it necessarily that we have to use this type of a rope by the saita? As the Gemara explains the question. Mishum shelo yishmetu begadel me'alahu is the whole reason why they use the rope. As a very pragmatic, practical reason, so that just that it should hold up her garments, that they don't fall down because they tore her off the whole neckline. And therefore, betzilzel katan name saga, and therefore, even with a small little belt, that will also do. Idoma mishum da amamar. Maybe the reason why is, as the Gemara says later on, what's called b'mida sh'adam maidit. As we'll see, that the same measurements that a person uses in his own life, that's called ba maidin lay. Actually, it's all manifestations of what you do. You get exactly the same thing in return. very natural in its in Hashem's judgment. So since we said, as we'll see later on, that he chagra lo b'tzeltzel, what this suspected, at least, adulterous woman did, was that she dressed herself up beautifully with a beautiful belt to make herself beautiful for this man that she was having an unfaithful relationship with. So lefikach koyin maybe chevel amitzis. So now, exactly the opposite. What they do is to degrade her. They bring her this rope to use as a belt now. And b'koish lo lamal medadeh, and they tie that above her breast. So maybe ma'akev, maybe you would have to have this chevel amitzis because it has to be paralleling what she had beautified herself with a belt. Now we use the belt to degrade her. So that would be specifically chevel amitzis. So what's halacha? So amalei, so Rav Huna responded, Tinesua, we learned this in the Braisa, where that the primacy of this belt, really of this Egypt, of this either Egyptian or this type of fibrous rope, is just so that her begadim, her garments, shouldn't fall down, and therefore it's not going to be ma'akiv. It could be used if they don't have that any belt, as the Braisa teaches. Va'achkach mi bichevel mitzri, and then they bring this mitzri rope. And they tie it above her breast, so that her garments don't fall down. So yes, although there's an added dimension to that reasoning, as we'll see later on, but the primary reason is that it shouldn't fall down, and therefore it's not ma'akiv if you don't have, it won't withhold the validity. If you don't have it, you could go ahead and use any belt that will keep her garments up. Now the Mishnah says, whoever wants to see what's the proceedings going on with this woman in her state of disgrace, they could watch. Now, etc. Now, Hagufa Kashya, Gemara says, seemingly there's an internal contradiction in our Mishnah, because Amrit, you said, Kala Reitza Liris Barai, you said, whoever wants to see, can see. Now, Amrit, so we see, Loishna Gavi, but Loishna Nashi, doesn't make a difference, men, women, whoever wants to see, could see. Vahadutani, then the Mishnah says, Kala Nashi Mutaris Larai, so all women are permitted to see her, which sounds like Nashi Mina, Nashi Mloi, only women and not men. So Amabai, Abai says, you're right, Tirguma, you have to interpret the first statement mentioned in the Mishnah, when it says, Kala Reitza, whoever wants to, Anoshim. I mean, the Aleph is a prefix. It's going on Anoshim, as we see later on in the Mishnah, only women. Whichever woman wants to see what's going on, they're allowed to. Now, Amalei Rava asked Abai, he says, but Vakala Reitza Lirisba Roya Ketan, but the Mishnah says, whomever wants to see. How can you say it means only women when it says anyone, which seemingly includes even men? So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, you're right. Whoever wants to see what's going on with this woman can see. It doesn't make a difference, men or women. Now, when then it concludes in the Mishnah regarding women, is women are obligated. We make the woman watch what's going on. Now, like it says, the Pasuk in the Mishnah quotes, that all the women should take the rebuke, which they shouldn't do, like this nus, like the immorality of this woman. So there is not just that they could, is that they should, and that we want them to, because we want them to learn, as from this example of this woman, what happens if a person gets enticed to go down the wrong way. Now, the Mishnah says, as we quoted this idea just before, that b'midah sh'adam moided, with the measurement, which means to say the exact way that a person measures, b'moided in loy, that's how heaven, that's how the world, that's how everything in the exact same measurement comes right back to that person. And we see that in specifics by the Saita. He kashtes atma la'avera. She adorned herself for sinful purposes with this other man. So hamakam nivla. So Hashem degrades her. He galses atma la'avera. She revealed herself for sinful purposes in her relationship with this other man. Hamakam gila ala. So Hashem reveals her. Here she is in that in this exposed fashion in front of everyone else. With her thighs, from that part of the body, was the part of the body that engaged in the sin first, because in regards to cohabitation, it's the thigh that gets the first pleasure of the touch of the male's flesh. And then and then the stomach gets that physical pleasure. That's why the first part of her body that starts getting the degrading consequences of being deformed and of the death process are her thighs. That's the first part that's cursed, as we've seen by Midbar Perakei. Pesis Hashem Yisyerchech Nefeles Vezbit Nechtzava, meaning although in actuality it doesn't work that way, but in the way it's phrased in how that is going to be a curse, the first thing that's mentioned for this reason are the thighs and Ba'achkach HaBetin, and then the stomach. And v'shar kol haguf lo yipolet, and the rest of the body is also not spared, because that is also the same b'midah shel hamoideh, because essentially the rest of the body, the whole body, gets that pleasure when there's this adulterous relationship. So therefore the whole body ends up getting the punishment of the soito. Now, related to this concept of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, Af agav de midah, although the actual measurement is betela, has been nullified, in other words, that there is no more what's called Arba Mises Bezdin, there's no more courts that deliver the capital punishment of the four different types of death, but bimida, which is a reference to what we mentioned in the Mishnah, this bimida shemidah adam maidin, meaning in the same measurement that a person does, that he gets punished, which are for those who sin, that is loy batal, that has not been stopped, meaning a person will end up dying the way it was when there was courts, human courts, that executed that way. Heaven will still do that. The same punishment that you're deserving, which is usually that the best executes, which Hashem is always exactly the measurement that a person does, mida keneged mida, that is still being done, just not through mortals, it's being done through the hands of heaven. The Amar Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef says, where, as Rashi explains, it's because we just said Amar Rav Yosef, so it can't be Rav Yosef quoting himself, is the Gemara that's saying that Rav Yosef also says this in general. And Bechein Tarni Bechein, and Sotri Bechein taught this in the Braisa, that Meyoyim Shachar of Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Afa Pishabat L'Sanhedrin, although now the high court has been nullified, and therefore they can't use any more capital punishment, but Arba Mises Le'Batlu, the four types of death have not stopped. Now the question is, V'Batlu, but they have stopped. The only one that could do capital punishment is the Sanhedrin, and they're defunct. So that is the answer, Eladin Arba Mises. Rather, the judgment of the four types of death, which is a din from Shemayim, which is by heaven, which is the similar concept, that was Le'Batlu, that didn't stop. As the Gemara explains, Mishnah is chayv skila, someone that's liable for being stoned, or he falls off a roof, which is similar to being stoned, because as the Mishnah says in Masechet Sanhedrin, the beis haskila, the place where the person was stoned, was two stories high, and then one of the witnesses would push him off, that, and then they would fall to the ground, and then they would be stoned. So part of skila was falling off this high area, so part of the death of skila is either the person's going to fall off a roof, or a wild animal is going to pounce on him, where if a lion comes and claws and pounces on the person and makes him fall to the ground, that's the same idea about being stoned, where here he is falling off from a height down to the ground through this wild animal. Mishan is chayv strefa, someone that's liable for the death of being burnt, which actually they wouldn't burn his body, they would pour something molten down his throat, and that's how he would die. So oynef abadleika, which is obviously a type of a fire, either he would fall into a fire, oynochash makishe, or a snake would bite him, and then the poison would burn him up inside, which is essentially very similar to the sreifa in the courts. Mishnas chayav ariga, someone that was liable for death, oynim sulamalchas, either he's given over to the government, where the death of the government was that they would behead the person, they would chop off his head with a sword. And the Misa of Herig is also by the sword, as the Gemara says, Masechet Sanhedrin. Or you listen, boy in love, or bandits would come on the person, which they would also then kill him with the sword. Again, that's part of that Misa of Herig. And Mishan is Chayv Chanika, someone that was liable for the death of being choked. So either he's going to drown in the river, which he's going to die from asphyxiation, he's not going to be able to breathe. Or he would die by Strunchi, which is a type of death, again, sickness in the throat where the person chokes and can't breathe anymore. That is, we see that the four types of Mises Bezdin are very much alive in the sense of, but just we don't see it, it's through the hands of heaven. Tanya learned the Braisa, Rebbe said, where do we know this concept from the Psukim, that the way a person measures things out, that's how they measure back to him. Shemaka says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, says, Besasa'a, which in this context is defined as in within the saw, which is a type of a measurement itself, bishalcha, when you send them away to the abyss to be lost, to Ravenna, that's how you contend with them. In other words, the same way that a person does, that's exactly how he's treated. If a person says negative things about people, then negative things will be said about him. The whole thing, everything is mida keneged mida. Now, ainli ela saw. So Rebbe says, I would only know, as the pasuk says, "Besas sa'ah," only maybe a very big sin, because the sa' is a big measurement. Minayin l'rabbis tarkev, how do we know that mida keneged mida down to the little dot, there are even smaller measurements, like a tarkev, which is a half a sa'? It's actually from the word of trei v'kav. Tarkev is 2 and 1 kav, which are 3 kavin, which is a half a sa'. Or v'chatzi tarkev, even a half a tarkev. Or less than that is kav v'chatzi kav. Or less than that is roiva, meaning a quarter of a kav, v'chatzi roiva, and a half of a quarter. Or even taimen v'uchla, which are even way small measurements, as and the measurements are mentioned in Baba Basra, Daf Tzadi Med Aleph, minayin, from where do we know that even down to the smallest dot of the I and the crossing of the T, that it's measure for measure? Time 11, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Yeshaya, ki kol soin, because every measurement, soin barash, gets measured with a loud noise, so we see that everything down to the last drop is measured exactly how a person does, that's what he gets in return. Now, uminayin shekol prutim, prutim, it's terefes l'cheshbon gadol. And how do we know, as we're going down to the bottom, to the minor technical details, so how do we know that every little coin, every little drop, combines for a large calculation? In other words, although that they're not punishing him the first time he did this bad thing, or the second time, that it's not because it has been overlooked, rather it's actually building up to make a large calculation, and then it's going to be collected from the person, so to speak. How do you know that that happens? Tamalima, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Keheles. Achas la'achas, one by one, it's limtzei cheshbon. It's to find a calculation. So again, don't think when you do small little things, oh, it's not a big deal. A, first of all, that it's going to be mida keneged mida for every little thing. And moreover, is that the little things, don't think that it was overlooked. It will build up for make a cheshbon, and everything is calculated for.